Ladies and gentlemen, from a planet somewhere in the universe, this is the James Whale Radio Show.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
So there we are. Welcome to the program. Thank you very much indeed. Nana. This is my tribute, by the way, to Robin Williams, who I felt was a great, fantastic, great performer, very clever man, very funny comedian, had exactly the sort of sense of humour that I find funny, and also did great serious and sensitive roles as well. What a waste, what a shame that nobody could sort of help him with his problem with depression. Serious thing, depression. Very serious thing, depression. Rob, are you all right?
Well, not now.
No, I'm sorry about that. Welcome to the programme. Well, of course, one of the legendary films about being in radio. Good morning, Vietnam! Another Robin Williams moment for those people in radio. Everybody I know in radio has always watched that movie.
I've seen it a couple of times.
Mm. And that, interestingly enough, that was when it became okay for DJs and broadcasters to suddenly have a bit more personality than saying, well, that's the latest out of the top 40. Thank you very much indeed. And here's another one. And sadly, radio's going back that way.
I don't even think they have people talking on the radio anymore, do they?
Well, there's not much point. Why would you tune into one of those stations like Heart or Capital? Because they play the same music over and over again. Well, you can do that. You can choose it and put it on your iPad.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, you needn't do that. Anyway, welcome, friends, Romans, countrymen, and anybody else in the EU or anyone around the world or the universe. The James Whale Radio Show. I sit here and I pontificate. Do you know what the origins of the meaning of the word pontificate?
Has it got something to do with sat on a toilet?
No, I think it's got something to do with the Pope, but I'm buggered if I know what. So maybe somebody will let us know. What is the origin of the word pontificate?
I feel like I'm on Countdown.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I've been on Countdown.
Have you?
Yeah. And I did quite a number of episodes of Countdown where I was in Dictionary Corner.
Oh, okay. Right. I thought you were getting, you know, as in the one of the...
I was in Dictionary Corner.
Oh.
Yeah. There must be some of those left somewhere. Because I used to make my TV show at Yorkshire Television where they made Countdown. So, you know, if they couldn't get a guest to do Dictionary Corner, they'd ask me. Which is quite funny, because I have no idea how to spell.
Yeah, but that's why you've got a dictionary, though.
But exactly my point.
You're the man for the job.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Why is my computer going off?
Because you haven't put your finger on it for a while.
Yeah, that's it. Well, dear, oh dear.
You need to touch it more.
I need to finger my computer regularly to keep it on, do I?
You need to keep it on, yes.
Yeah. Well, there we are. Guest on the show this week, the gorgeous Amanda Lamb. Now, Amanda Lamb, you will have known from the Scottish Widows commercials. That's when she first became famous. And then she went on to make a series of programmes called A Place in the Sun that has now been going for about 14 or 15 years, I think, since A Place in the Sun. We encourage people to go and buy houses that they can't really afford when they're abroad. So we'll talk to Amanda a little later. Bit of glamour on the show today, which is very nice. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. That's my email, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. You can check us out there any time you like. So, very sad. Sad that Robin Williams decided that he wanted to check out early before his allotted time. And I haven't got anything clever or witty or whatever to say, except I think it's very sad, except that I did my nana, 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 nuna, nana bit. And do you know what that was from, by the way? What series?
Mork and Mindy.
You're all right. And Good Morning, Vietnam, of course. Good Morning, Vietnam!
I liked Patch Adams. I thought that was very good.
I can't do that.
Patch Adams?
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do Patch Adams.
There's nothing to do. He was just a...
No, I know. I'm just saying I can't do it. Even if you could do it, I couldn't.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what are we going to talk about today? I suppose Iraq is still in the news. Oh, dear. David Cameron's just come back from his holiday, thank goodness. Are we going to send troops over there? I have a sneaking suspicion that we may already have done so. And there was a horrific picture the other day of a young lad holding up the severed head of somebody who'd been beheaded. It's like going back to the bloody Middle Ages. It really is ridiculous. And this, apparently, because of people's beliefs. Don't get me going on religion. Just this is people are hacking off each other's heads as they did thousands of years ago because they believe in something mystical that is different to the other person. Isn't it amazing that human beings have advanced so little psychologically that some of us still feel the need to believe that when we die, we will exist in a different form somewhere else? I'm not saying we don't. I'm saying I don't know, and I don't think you actually need to know. I don't think it's part of the condition. Who knows? Who knows what would happen? I mean, we are a lot of electricity. Electricity, you can't get rid of electricity, as I understand it, from physics. So when you die, the electricity that makes up that part of your body, your soul, whatever you want to call it, must go somewhere. But the idea of living with 100 virgins because you've been a good boy and you've killed people who don't believe what you believe is just crass. Just crass, I'm sorry. You know, the same way that in the West, everybody's idea of their deity is a sort of elderly gentleman with a long beard. I mean, if you want to believe in something, believe you're going to be dressed like a baby and sit on a cloud and play a harp, if that makes you feel better. My suggestion is that we don't harm anybody while we're here, and we try and enjoy ourselves and make other people around us enjoy themselves as much as possible, without causing as little harm as you can to anybody or the environment. Then, job done. It's a bit deep, isn't it? And then you get religious people, like in the armed forces, we've got our... You've got, what are they called? The chaplains and everything else. I'm sure on other religions, they have the same sort of thing. I can't get my head around it. I just can't. And if millions, billions of people follow the guy in Rome, I just don't understand. You know, follow him where? Follow what? You know, live a good life. Don't be nasty to other people. Don't nick other people's stuff. Don't harm other people. Don't harm animals. Don't, you know, you don't need to be religious to know what is a proper way to spend your life. And by the way, we all do things we shouldn't do. And usually karma gets us in the end anyway. Oh, dear, I should be a sage. Why don't I set myself up as a sage?
Is that a herb?
Well, it is a herb, but a sage is a kind of wise person, isn't it? And people flock around to hear your wise words. Well, that's why they're listening to the James Whale Radio Show.
You are listening to James and Rob on the James Whale Radio Show.
Would you like a free audiobook? Our friends at Audible are giving everybody a free audiobook just by going to the James Whale Radio Show website, jamesweleradio.co.uk. All you need to do is click on the Audible link, register, and you'll get your free audiobook. It's a bit like a book club, and remember, you can leave at any time and you still get to keep your free audiobook. So what are you waiting for? Just head over to the James Whale Radio Show website, jamesweleradio.co.uk, and click on that Audible link now.
Welcome back. jamesweleradio.co.uk is, of course, where you can find the James Whale Radio Show. Hi to our friends from Audioboo, who also play us out. You can sometimes get us as well through talentgb.com. And hopefully they will be back on board before long. We've got music later in the programme from Wayne Hussey, a man who I share quite a lot of infamy with. I'll tell you more about that later. And, of course, I'll be talking to the lovely, lovely Amanda Lamb. But first, politicians are suggesting that we perhaps, or some of them were suggesting, that we might pay if we end up in A&E, if we've been drunk or in a fight. David says, yes, if you cause or are in a car crash, you should pay the entire bill of the police, the ambulance and A&E. We'd all be driving around 10 miles an hour, David. Debbie says she was in hospital with chest pains and a young lad who was brought in with his dad. He was absolutely out of his head. You could smell the drink. And I was waiting to be seen, but everyone was running around after someone who poured the drink down his own throat. By the time they got round to me, I was in the middle of an angina attack. Thanks to a little pissant. Oh, I see. Thanks to a little pissant. I was in agony and fear that I was having a full heart attack. So, yes, if they have the money to drink, then they have the money to pay. I think that's a very good point. Loads of you on this. Louise says, not for the first time offence, but if it's repeated, then definitely our A&E departments are constantly clogged up by repeat offenders. I don't wish anybody ill. I don't wish anybody turns up at A&E. On a couple of times where I have, and I'm sure some of you have, there always seem to be, and I'm sorry, I really shouldn't say this, but there, and it's my programme, so I will, there always seem to be the dregs of society. There always seem to be the people who can't manage life. They're always, and that's not what accident and emergency was set up for. Surely it was set up to look after those people who have an emergency illness or have had an accident. It's not for those people who just can't look after themselves. There must be a better way of doing it. My thoughts, your thoughts have been coming flooding in via our Facebook site. Adam says, so a girl who has had a load of drink and has been beaten up and raped on her way home should not be given treatment unless she pays. Well, I mean, that's ridiculous, Adam. Why would you think that? Why would you think that? That just means to me, Adam, that you didn't listen to the question. If you're drunk, you end up in A&E. Should you pay? But, I mean, obviously, if you have been attacked, if you have been beaten up, if somebody has had a go at you, then obviously you wouldn't. Unless, of course, Adam, you make a habit of going out, getting so pissed you end up actually in A&E and don't know how you get there. Jerry says, who could afford it? Martin thinks, refuse to treat them and send them home to sleep it off would make more sense. I don't know. It depends what sort of illness they've got. But it seems a lot of our hospitals are clogged up with people who are there because they can't handle life. Maybe there is a better way. I don't know, but maybe there is. I've got any thoughts? Tweet us. You could Facebook us. Robbo's got the addresses.
Yeah, it's facebook.com/JamesWellRadio and JamesWellRadio@gmail.com is the email.
You sure?
Yeah.
You sounded a little hesitant, that's all.
I'm sure.
You're positive?
Yeah, I'm about 98%.
Yeah. How's your problem with the neighbours, by the way?
Escalating.
Oh, is it? Mm. Oh, dear. Well, we better sort them out.
Yeah.
Poor old Robbo. Robbo's got one of these problems with neighbours who park in front of his drive. And every time he complains, they stick more cars in front of his drive. And, you've got to go around there and assert your manliness.
I did that.
Well, why don't you put on a frock and pop round, see if that frightens them.
I'll give that a go.
Mm. Yeah, I think you should. Shall we talk to the lovely Amanda Lamb?
Yes, please.
I think that'd be nice, because the idea of you in a frock is now well and truly stuck in my mind. I think I'd like to change the subject somewhat. So let's talk to the host of many a programme on television. Mostly these programmes are about property, but it doesn't have to necessarily be. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's get her on the phone.
Putting her through now.
Hello.
Amanda.
Hi, James. How are you?
Very good. Right, let's start. Now, Amanda Lamb, probably responsible for more people buying holiday homes that, well, maybe they didn't want in the first place than anyone else.
Is it my fault? I'm sorry.
I don't know, but I'm just wondering over the years how many people have bought houses because they saw you in a sunny place on a place in the sun.
Yeah, I get stopped in the street quite a lot now. And even though I haven't filmed that programme for several years, I still get people saying, it's your fault we bought in the Dordogne, or it's your fault we bought in Portugal. So yes, I think I am rather responsible for quite a lot of it, actually.
How did all that start? Because you were a model originally, weren't you?
I was, yeah, and I got quite disillusioned with it. The thing is with modelling, it's a great job and you get to see the world, but there are lots of sort of downsides to it as well. And I'd sort of got to the point where it's like, oh gosh, I can't just stand in another swimsuit and be told that my hips are too big or my nose isn't right or whatever. So I thought, right, that's it, I've had enough. I'm going to give up modelling, and I was going to go back to college to train to be a teacher. And the day that I signed up to do that, I had a phone call from my agent, and they were looking for presenters to take part in this new show called A Place in the Sun, who had estate agency experience. And prior to being a model, I was an estate agent straight from school. I left school at 15 and worked in my local estate agents for 6 years. So I thought, oh, I'll go along and do the screen test, and the rest, as they say, is history. They told me it would be 6 shows to start with. They said it would be 6 shows, and I thought, oh, that'll keep me going until March, and then I'll rethink it. And that was 14 years ago.
14 years?
Yeah. Started in 2000, yeah. And then I think it kind of peaked. I think the craze for buying property abroad in those sort of early noughties, that sort of 2004, 2005, that's when everybody was doing it. And it was very accessible and very easy. And then there was that sort of, it has been a real roller coaster. If you look at the last sort of 14 years, there was that huge high where people were buying properties in Spain off plan and sort of trebling their money overnight. And, you know, those days are gone now. They're well and truly over. That doesn't happen anymore. And then the sort of the crash happened. But we still get lots of people that want to buy for lots of different reasons. People that are emigrating, people that want to start a new life, people that we find now that they buy more, that they're more measured in their thinking. You know, it's not that kind of get-rich-quick scheme. They're much more measured in why they're buying properties abroad.
Were you surprised how successful the programme became?
Incredibly, yeah. I mean, I think when we first started it, it was an afternoon, they call them fillers, you know, it was those sort of shows that get put out in the afternoon that maybe 4 people watch, including my mother. And then all of a sudden it just grew in popularity. It moved up to prime time. We did all the celebrity ones with people like, you know, Tara Palmer, Tomkinson, and Anthea Turner and Grant Bovey at the time. And, you know, it suddenly became immensely popular. And yeah, it did take me by surprise, actually.
What was it like? You got presumably to spend a few days abroad with people you'd never met before. What was that like?
Yes,
what were the highs and lows?
That was good and bad. You know, we were lucky to meet some lovely, lovely, genuine house hunters that were just fantastic. And there were a few that you sort of think, ah, you're coming out for what you think is a free holiday. You know, we work them hard. When we film, as you know, anything that you do on TV, it's a long day. They'd start at sort of 8 o'clock in the morning and not finish till sort of 8 o'clock at night. And it would take 4 or 5 weeks to, four or five days to film a show. So I think they thought they'd come out, do about half an hour of filming, and then spend the rest of the week on the beach. So quite a lot of the time, they were fairly surprised, but we did meet some lovely ones. We also met others that were trying to escape after a day of filming. We caught one couple packing their bags in a taxi at midnight because they thought we'd all gone to bed. We were coming back from a local bar, and we had to remind them that they were contractually obliged to finish the show. So, yeah, that was an interesting week.
Do you think a lot of those people actually thought it was going to be a way just to get a few days away, or do you think some of them were desperate? Because I always felt when I watched it that very few people ended up buying anywhere.
I think at the very beginning, when we first started filming the show, we were filming about 45 shows a year. So that's a lot of filming and a lot of contributors to try and cast. And it was very difficult sometimes to try and match up the contributors with the areas that they wanted to buy in, you know, because sometimes, you know, they want to buy in Marbella and we'd already filmed three in Marbella, so we had to look somewhere else in Spain. When we got fewer programs, but when we went to sort of prime time, when we got fewer programs, we did a lot more research. We picked our contributors a lot more carefully. I mean, for example, when we did the Australia series, out of the four shows that we did, three ended up buying out there and moving out there. So, yeah, I think with any property show, you wait for the PS bit at the end and sort of think, are they going to buy or not? So, gradually, the success, I think we probably did about, I would say, 60% of people bought, or sort of 70% offered. So, yeah, it all depended on circumstances, on the right properties. I mean, you know, when you buy property yourself, sometimes it takes a long time to find the house, and we're showing them four houses. So, yeah, it was a bit of a gamble, but quite a lot of the time it paid off.
And why did you never go and live abroad? All those places look so sunny.
I have a house abroad. I do have a house abroad in Italy. I bought one when I was filming the show. so I do actually have a place in the sun. I have a property down in Puglia in southern Italy. And yeah, I mean, I'd lost count of the amount of times we would film a show and say, should we buy this? Yeah, should we all put in together? Why don't we, you know, the director and I was thinking about it the other day. We were going to buy a house on this tiny little island called Carriacou in the Caribbean. What was I thinking? We'd never use it. But, yeah, I have a little 18th century apartment in a town called Galatina in Puglia, in Italy. So, yeah, I did actually end up practicing what I preach. And it's been very good for me. I've made quite a lot of money from it, and we get to use it for lovely family holidays. Yeah.
And that's something that you wouldn't have done if it hadn't been for this programme.
No. We were filming there, and we went to one of the properties, and I walked in and went, oh, this is gorgeous. And throughout the whole filming, I was thinking, please don't buy it, please don't buy it, please don't buy it, which was probably not the most sensible thing to do, gazumping the contributors. And at the end, the guys bought the apartment, but I spoke to the developer and said, look, if ever you get anything else like this, you know, will you let me know? And about a month later, he called and said, I've got this apartment, would you like to come and look at it? And I did, and said, yep, it's perfect, thank you very much, done.
Didn't you meet your husband through the program as well?
I did. Yes, he was our new cameraman. We had a cameraman that didn't really gel and didn't really work very well with the rest of the crew. So he left, and they brought in this new cameraman called Sean McGuinness, and we were like, oh, I wonder what he's going to be like. And yeah, the rest, as they say, is history. 8 years later, two babies down the line. There's a bit of a thing, though. Most of the presenters of A Place in the Sun end up marrying their cameraman. I don't know what that's about. Maybe it's because they're always looking at you. I don't know. Jasmine, she's married her cameraman. There was another presenter called Victoria who married hers. So, yes, quite incestuous, actually.
And do you all keep in touch? Are you all friends? Or is there some sort of animosity about, oh, she's got more programmes than me? I mean, you left for a while.
No, we do keep in touch, actually. I see Johnny and Jasmine a lot at the Place in the Sun Live exhibitions, which I think there's one coming up in October, actually. So we all get together. They're still filming them. I've stopped now. I've had babies and travelling abroad for sort of six weeks at a time doesn't really work anymore. So they're carrying on, and we sort of catch up and see each other probably about three or four times a year. So yeah, lots of my very, very dear friends I've met doing the show. So I've got a lot to be thankful for with that program.
So if you hadn't become an estate agent when you left school, you wouldn't now be a much sought after television presenter.
No, it's crazy, isn't it? The path that, you know, you set off on is never normally the one that you end up following. But, yeah, it was because I left school at 15. And, I grew up on a really rough council estate. And then, you know, no one from that council estate went to university. It was just not, you just didn't do it. It was, you know, you left school at 15, 16, and you got a job. And, you know, the boys all went and became plumbers or did the YTS apprentice scheme, and most of the girls, so stereotypical, but we all went off and did secretarial courses and became hairdressers or secretaries. And I remember applying for two jobs. One was in a solicitor's and one was in an estate agent's, and I got offered both of them. And I was umming and ahhing and, which one shall I go for? And I've always been obsessed with property, even at that age. So I went down the estate agent route. Thank God I did. Otherwise, I'd still be in a solicitor's and haven't.
And probably not married.
No, exactly. So, yeah, very, very, very lucky.
What next?
What next? I'm currently filming a new series. It's another property show for Channel 4 called Selling Houses with Amanda Lamb. 20 episodes, and we are trying to help people that can't sell their house for whatever reason. So I go in, I give them £1,000 and 7 days and some constructive criticism. and they make over some of the rooms, and then I bring a buyer around and show the buyer.
And how many of the houses have you sold?
We sold one last week. We sold one last week, and we're doing all right. Every week, there's three houses per show, and normally one or two out of the three will shift after we've been there. I mean, we had one house in Portsmouth that had been on the market for 2 years, on the market, and after we changed a few of the rooms around, it sold within a week and a half. So, yeah, that's my success story.
Well, next time I'm selling, I'm going to be on the phone to you,
round.
That's for sure.
Come round and sort it out.
Tell me about the iconic moment in your life when you were the Black Widow.
Ah, well, you see, again, that was the... I had a call from my agent saying that there was a casting for this new insurance company called Scottish Widows, and I was thinking, I can't be, it was in town, and it was on my birthday, and I didn't want to go in, but anyway, I did, and every single model in London was going for that casting, and they cut it down to 20 of us, then 10 of us, then 2 of us, and I think that I was the director's favourite, but Scottish Widows wanted the other woman, or the other model, all the other way around. Either I was Scottish Widow's favourite, but there was a bit of a fight over who got it. And, I was, again, very, very lucky. It was really proud to be a part of that because that was such an iconic image and such an incredible campaign to be part of. It took me to, ironically, never filmed it in Scotland. South Africa, Mallorca, France, but we never, ever filmed it in Scotland.
And, of course, that was the first one, wasn't it? It was based on the French lieutenant's woman, wasn't it, at the end
yes,
of that pier?
That wasn't me. That was Roger Moore's daughter. Roger Moore's daughter, Debbie, did the first, I think, 4 or 5 commercials, and then I did about 6 or 7, and then there have subsequently been another 2 girls after me. But the whole premise of Scottish Widows is that it was set up to help the widows of the Napoleonic War. So that's where the sort of mournful woman in black sort of came from. But I think it's one of those campaigns that if you show anyone that image, they will know what it is. And to have been a part of that for such a long time was incredible.
And did it never make you think perhaps acting is something I should try?
No, I know my limitations, Jess. I know where I am. Acting is definitely not one of them. I'm all right if I don't have to talk. Walking and looking enigmatic is fine, but actually trying to physically show emotions I think would be quite... My sister-in-law is an actress, and I'm in awe of her ability to memorise lines, to take on a character. So, I definitely know when to quit. And acting's not going to be one of my strong points.
Well, I definitely think there's a programme in the making to buy holiday homes in this country.
Yeah,
I think
should we pitch it?
I think it's a good idea. As long as there's a female camera
let's
person.
Let's do it. That's a good idea. I'll get on to Channel 4 this afternoon.
Listen, you have a good trip. Where are you off to next?
Next week, I'm back filming Selling Houses, and I'm going to Bath and Bristol, and then I'm off to a lovely little camping trip with my family, which should be fun, because we have 2 children under 5, so wish me luck for that. And then, the rest of the year is going to be spent up and down the country helping people shift their homes.
Did you do the celebrity Plays in the Sun with Richard Whiteley?
I did, God rest his soul, I did. What a lovely man. He was brilliant, son. That was in Portugal. We did that in the Algarve. Mm.
No, I used to know Richard quite well. I used to do a show for Yorkshire Television, of course. And,
great guy. Really lovely.
And that was... I just remembered that now. And him looking around with his wife...
Catherine
a pan of chips.
Yeah, the one. Catherine a pan of chips, yeah. They were both brilliant. I remember being utterly... Because that was my first ever kind of celebrity one. And I'd only just started really filming that. So I remember being utterly terrified. And he was just so lovely and just put me at ease and was just brilliant fun. So, he's a lovely, lovely man.
He had a very dry sense of humour.
And, you know,
you never knew whether he was taking the mick or not. It was quite funny.
And he took us all. I remember him taking us all to a chicken and chip shop in Portugal randomly. We all sat down in this kind of, I guess, the Portuguese equivalent of a greasy spoon and just dived into this huge plate of chicken and chips. And it was one of his favourite restaurants that he used to go to all the time when he was in Portugal.
He loved that sort of food. He loved all the things you shouldn't love.
Yeah, all plain, all simple. Yeah, absolutely.
Good luck to him. Good luck to him. Yes,
yeah,
God rest
absolutely.
Him. Amanda, lovely to talk to you.
You too, James.
We'll
have a wonderful rest of the holiday. Well, summer, what's left of it. A few more weeks, isn't
there? It's going to rain while you're camping, but don't let
that
put
you off.
Yeah, thanks
for that. I should pack my wellies then.
See you soon. Thanks, Amanda.
Take care, my darling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Amanda Lamb, and if you want to sell your house, she's the person then, obviously, to give her a call and get her to come round. Isn't that just like the house doctor?
Yeah, do you reckon she could sell my house and I could move away from the neighbours?
Well, yeah, or she could sell the neighbour's house.
Well,
maybe without the neighbours knowing. It's funny, actually, it's funny what make people buy a house. I bought the house I'm in now because it has a wood-burning stove. But the wood-burning stove has never really worked properly since I've been here.
I bought my house because it had walls and a roof.
Really? Mm. That usually helps. I always think that helps. Right, there's another story this week that really interested me, and again, earlier in the week. Of course, always check out our Facebook and Twitter sites, because the James Whale, James Whale Radio Show, we're always tweeting and putting stuff out there, and if there's anything you want to include on the programme, all you've got to do is let us know. And this is, of course, that a bunch of politicians have said that they think we should have health warnings on booze. Well, I don't. I mean, if you drink too much, we were talking about A&E before, if you drink too much, you're a pain in the arse, aren't you?
Yep.
You know, drunks are an absolute pain, a pain. And you don't do yourself any good. So you know that. All right, you know that if you smoke, you're probably going to die from lung cancer, and it's not a nice way to die. I've watched a few friends die from lung cancer. You don't want to do it. But as long as you know, then it's up to you what you do. I mean, maybe if you smoke cigarettes, you should pay more in the way of tax. I don't know. And I don't want you to smoke near me, so I'm really happy that people can't. And I think smoking on your own. And quite frankly, I would stop. If politicians want to do something to gain public pleasure so that we think they're not as idiotic as they obviously seem to be, then ban smoking in public. I don't want to walk down the street past junkies, I mean nicotine junkies, who stand outside where they work or where they happen to be having a meal, shaking in the cold weather or sweating in the hot weather with a fag on. You know, I think if you want to smoke, you go somewhere where we can't see you, where you do your drugs privately, where nobody else has to look at it. Right? They can be legal. I'm not fussed, as long as you pay for them. You go and take them wherever. That's smoking. Now, drinking, I think, is reasonably sociable. Me blowing my alcoholic breath over you isn't really going to cause you any trouble. If I get drunk, it might, and therefore people who persistently get drunk need to be dealt with in some way. But going and having a meal with friends, or going out and having a meal even on your own, do you want to really have a bottle of beer or a bottle of wine on the table with somebody's diseased lungs on them? I mean, that's not very conducive with having a meal, is it? Have you gone to sleep?
No, I'm listening to every word. Our village is a smoke-free zone.
Yeah, but you live in Wales.
Mm.
Until recently, you couldn't flipping get a drink on a Sunday.
That is true.
You know, I rest my case. Should we have a conversation about the Welsh language?
No.
Oh, sorry, I thought you would. Achadi.
That's the only word you know.
I know. Yakida.
Oh, two.
I know a few, but then I'm not going to start revealing how well I speak Welsh. Do you know why I'm not going to reveal how well I speak Welsh?
This is all going to get edited. Go and say it anyway.
It's not going to get edited. It's because Welsh people love to speak Welsh in front of you because they think you don't know what they're saying about you.
Yes, this is gone.
So don't let them know you can speak the language. Christo. Right, okay. Right. As far as having warnings on alcohol, Christine Bailey, hello, Christine, says, no, it won't make a difference at all. Once you get the taste, you wouldn't be bothered what was on the bottle. Oops, sounds like somebody's in trouble. Simon Hearn says, has it made a difference to smokers who see pictures of black lungs on cigarettes? Why don't we put pictures of rotten teeth on sweet packets and Coke bottles, by the way? And Helen says, only to the amount of information they can manage to cram onto a label. Price hike is the only thing that makes a difference, hence the growth of high street chains like Booze Buster and the demise of the public house. Gavin says, we don't need to nanny state. Each person should live their life as they please and make mistakes and choices at their own risk. I would only say, Gavin, as long as that does not encroach on somebody else having a happy, free life. Kerry says, depends if it's Lambrini. That bottle should have a death warning. Oh, I used to like Lambrini, girls. Mark says he can't see how in pubs you don't get given the bottle. It's poured into a glass, so you wouldn't know. Very good points with everybody. Are we going to have health warnings on every single solitary thing? Is that the way it's going?
What would you like to have a health warning on?
What would I like to have a health warning on? Oh, dear, to be serious, I don't want a health warning on anything, but what don't we have on our cars? The fumes from this machine can seriously damage your health. Why don't all cars have a health warning on the side of them? You know, right on the front, walk in front of me, and it could cause death.
I like that one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's how silly it is, isn't it, really? Sugary drinks like Coke. I mean, why aren't we having a health warning on those? Bananas. There's about 7 spoonfuls of sugar in a banana. And some people say, well, you know, it's good sugar. I'm not sure that that's the case. Vivian says, why not prohibition? That's the only way. Well, Vivian, prohibition never worked. Didn't work in America. It made lots of money for lots of bad people. And, of course, lots of people are making lots of money over the drugs because there's prohibition there. So maybe that's an argument for no prohibition. You're listening to the James Ware Radio Show online and on your favourite radio station. Don't forget, of course, you can go to our shop, jameswareradio.com/shop, and find all sorts of goodies for the summer, including T-shirts, baseball caps, copies of my book. And if you want to find out more, just go and have a look around our shop. So don't forget Love Film banner on the front page of the website, Love Film. If you click on there, follow the links, sign up to Love Film, and you will get 1 free month of movies, as many movies as you cram in to 1 free month. And of course, as we've mentioned already, if you go to Audible, click on there, follow the links, you get a free audiobook courtesy of the James Ware Radio Show. You can even get my audiobook if you wish, but you don't have to. You can get any audiobook you like. Now, shall we finish the programme today with a bit of music?
Yes, please.
Okay, well, this is interesting, because here's a guy that on my television show back in the 90s, we seemed to get an inordinate... Where did that word come from?
I don't know. You're full of words this week. Have you got that dictionary in front of you?
No. Just in, you know... I don't know. My vocabulary seems to have improved. Anyway, an inordinate amount, whatever that word was, amount of coverage about this next guest, because during a live TV show, he got a bit difficult, and I actually had to throw him out of the TV show. And then that went all over the place, and that piece of... in fact, you can see it. I think if you, after the programme, if you go and click on... Well, how do they see it, Rob? Where can they see it?
If they go to the James Ware Radio Show website, jameswareradio.co.uk, the segment this show is on, I'll put a link to the bit where you throw him out.
Right, okay. And that was back in about 1993?
91, I think.
Was it 91? Golly, how long ago was that?
A few years ago.
23 years ago?
Hmm.
Something like that. Anyway, so the guy in question, Wayne Hussey. Now, I haven't spoken to Wayne since that 23 years ago. Wayne went off, and I believe Wayne is now living in South America, but I do happen to know that Wayne is coming back to this country and he's going to be touring. He's doing about 50 dates over here. So just as a bit of a teaser, we'll be welcoming Wayne to the programme. Maybe we should film it and put it up as a film as well.
I'll take his shoes off him before we do the interview.
Me not throwing Wayne Hussey out of the show. I always like Wayne as a musician. I always like the music that Wayne made. So I wish you a great week. Tell your friends to join us on the James Whale Radio Show at jameswhaleradio.co.uk. And here's the single from the forthcoming album. It's called Songs of Candlelight and Razor Blades. It's going to be soon available on iTunes. So here's a little bit of a preview of a track that's called Wither on the Vine.
By the creeds of which I'm sworn.
There we are, Wayne Hussey and Wither on the Vine. I have to say that I think that is excellent, and I'm looking forward to having Wayne on the show sometime in the next month or so. He's coming over to the UK to do a tour, so we'll find out more about Mr. Wayne Hussey. And as I said before, if you go to our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, you can see the clip of the TV show, now over 20 years old, where I had to ask Mr. Hussey if he wouldn't mind terribly leaving the studio because he was being slightly offensive. Actually, then starts throwing his shoes at the camera, which, of course, I didn't realise then in those days, is as far, if you happen to be a Muslim, would be considered to be highly insulting. Anyway, just before I go, because I just remember something I wanted to ask Robbo. Now, Robbo, you know Paul Daniels well, don't you?
I know him reasonably well, yes.
Yeah, and his wife, the ever vivacious Debbie McGee. Now, rumours are abroad that he and she are going into the Big Brother house.
I did see something in the paper, yes.
Well, come on, tell me. I mean, are they going in or aren't they?
I can't say yes or no.
Why not?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't want to get them into trouble either way. But I can say that I did send Debbie a text saying, are you going into the Big Brother house, question mark?
Mm.
And I haven't had a reply. So read from that what you think.
Well, perhaps you just lie about the fact you know them, and she wonders, who's this stalker, Rob, who's sending me texts?
That could be true as well.
Yeah, that might be true too, you see. You've got to be very careful about this. But I wouldn't go in there, you see, because you don't have any control over it. Your persona is controlled by the producers. They decide what bits of you and what you have done the public get to see. So when you watch Celebrity Big Brother, you actually only see part of what goes on.
And if you listen to this show, you only hear part of what goes on.
Well, of course. I mean, you can't expect all the bits that we put on the show. Do you know, I've got a... Ah, that's better. Had a bit of toenail I had to cut off. I hate it when your toenails get so long. And I'm just sitting in my office doing the show today, and I happen to keep... Ow! Yeah, that's a bit near the knuckle, that. Ah, that's better. Yeah. You know when you get a bit of toenail that sticks out to the side of the toe?
Yeah.
I'm just cutting it off now. Hang on. I won't be... that's it, got it. Okay. So where were we?
You don't...
Yeah, Big Brother. So you see, you know, they'd see me cutting my toenails and doing stuff like that. And I don't think that's something that people really want to see, do they?
No, they don't. Or here.
No. Yeah. So that's a good one. You could always email jameswhale@gmail.com. Tell me who you would like to see in the Big Brother house. I'd like to do a new series, something different, you know, rather than the Big Brother house. I'd say the Big Brother bungalow.
I live in a bungalow.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe I've gone off the idea.
I don't do stairs.
No, of course you don't, because you get puffed out because you're not very fit. Anyway, I'm rambling on about this, so I think we'll leave it there until another week, because, of course, I've got to go and pack a bag for Monday. So, I mean, I've got to go and sort myself out for whatever I'm doing later in the week. And do you know, one last thing I was just occurred to me before I actually do sign off, and that is that there have been some really appalling people on Twitter trolling the daughter of Robin Williams, so much so that she's now cancelled her Twitter account. And the idea that some people, you know, it's really sad when somebody dies, it's sad, whoever it may be. When a legend, and Robin Williams was a legend, takes their life because they are obviously ill, had a psychological problem, somebody who unfortunately was not able to be saved. In fact, in his case, he was terminally ill with a psychosis. And for people to go out and start being rude and silly about it, there are some flipping sick individuals out there. Now, There's nothing anybody can say to me that upsets me. Not the Welsh nobody. But, you know, it takes a real low-life scumbag to start having a go at someone in a situation like that. And I can only warn you that the law of karma that I believe in, once you do nasty things to people, horrible things come back and happen to you in the future. I think that is disgusting. The people who have been trolling the family of Robin Williams and troll anybody else who is going through a difficult and hard time, or decide just to be downright nasty and horrible because they are faceless. They're usually inadequate human beings. They usually don't have much of a life. Their life exists in the four walls and in their computer. And it's the only drawback to this fabulous modern technology is the spotty little Herberts who have no real physical life, who live it out online and can upset people. And I always live by the adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Unless you allow them to. On that thought, have a lovely time. Talk to you soon.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadioShow or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.